We invite you to stay tuned for a special series of Bible studies on the book of Revelation. Your instructor is missionary and Bible teacher David Long. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family. A time to study the Bible together.
As has already been said, chapter 7 is one of the portions of Revelation in which there is a break in the chronological development to give us a kind of parenthesis in which God shows us some of the background material, some side issue which requires explanation, or some personality whose participation in the events we need to know more about. Six seals have been opened in sequence, initiating a mounting series of calamities on earth. They bring us to about the middle of the seven-year period, so the tribulation, properly speaking, is near. This will involve a godly remnant who will refuse to worship the beast's image, see Revelation 13:15, and who will flee in extreme suffering to the mountains, Matthew 24:15-22, when the image, called in the Matthew passage, the abomination which maketh desolate, set up in the holy place. And that quotation is from Daniel chapters 9 and 12. The question arises, who are these people who refuse, this loyal remnant? Where did they come from when the church has been removed? How will God maintain a witness on earth in such conditions? And who will listen to them? Chapter 7 is a parenthesis given to explain these problems and to answer these questions. Daniel saw in chapter 7 of his prophecy the four winds of heaven striving on the great sea, and four great beasts representing four Gentile world empires emerge to fill the scene until the coming of the final dictator. The winds are winds of heaven, for heaven initiates and induces everything on the world scene. Here, these winds are held in check. There will be a halt, a pause, while some necessary preparation is seen to. This preparation is the marking out and sealing of special witnesses from Israel, a startling development in itself that God should again be dealing with his earthly people, set aside for so long in displeasure and judgment. The appearance of this band of servant witnesses from the 12 tribes is proof enough that the church has by this time been caught away and is no longer on earth. God is acting in a new way. It is a different administration or dispensation. The church is gone. The apostasy has begun. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, is called the falling away or the turning away. Israel is coming again onto center stage in Palestine, with Palestine as the focus of world events. The great super dictator of the West is in view and is about to demand from Israel the awesome price for his treaty of support and defense. The storm is building up through which God will judge Israel and the nations, and through all that storm, God will have his active witnesses. We are told here where they come from, and later in the chapter, what the results of their work are. Whether the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, making a total of 144,000, is a literal number, as is likely, or a symbolic number indicating sufficient and adequate testimony for God, is something about which we neither can be nor need be dogmatic. The witness is there, called by the Lord in Matthew 25:40, my brethren, backed by the power of the Spirit in all his sevenfold power and perfection, chapter 5, verse 6, They are marked for God in their foreheads, so they will not and cannot receive the mark of the beast. In verses 9 to 17, we are given, in anticipation, a view of those who will be converted to God during the tribulation through the witness of this 144,000. This, of course, proving the parenthetical nature of the vision, since the tribulation has not actually begun yet. They are not only Gentiles from every race and nationality, but they are a great multitude, innumerable. So that in the period when the personal deputy of the devil reigns visibly on earth, when he has at his disposal all the means for compelling men to obey him, when there is tribulation such as has never existed since the creation of the world, the message of God still wins men in great numbers, and these stand firm in spite of such appalling conditions. All this merely confirms what God teaches throughout his word, that where his spirit is working, no power of suffering can stop or even hinder. The multitude seen are clothed in white, that is, they have been rewarded. They are carrying palm branches, that is, they are triumphant. And they are proclaiming in victorious joy that God is the author of everything. Chapter 8 opens with the breaking of the seventh seal, so that the whole blueprint and plan of God's final dealings with the universe now lies open before us. It is in this sense that the seventh seal includes the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet in turn includes the seven bowls of judgment. In fact, the seven bowls make up and are the seventh trumpet. There is a half hour of silence, the threatening stillness preceding the storm. God is never in a hurry, and men are given time to think and to know what the judgment is which is falling. The trumpet judgments show a change in character from the first six seals, which are called in Matthew the beginning of sorrows, and are connected with earthly phenomena, deceivers, wars, famines, epidemics, persecutions, and upheavals. But now angels intervene, those special servants of God from heaven, and what now happens comes down from heaven. We should notice also the fact that the judgments coming on earth are, in verse 3, connected with the prayers of all the saints. It has been remarked by C.A. Coates that this is the only indication of what the people of God have been doing on earth through the terrible times of the first six seals. In those troubles, they have been praying about the only thing they could do, and surely a lesson for us. The prayers of God's people are heard, even though the answer may be delayed. In Matthew 24, the souls of the martyrs cry to God for vengeance and are told to wait until their number has been fulfilled. Now the hour has struck. The cup of the Gentiles is full. The judgment will begin in answer to these heart petitions of the saints. These prayers for deliverance through judgment on their enemies are really the fulfillment of those psalms called the imprecatory psalms, which have been so misunderstood as men have pointed to their difference from what they call the Christian spirit of the New Testament. Those psalms are the agonized pleadings of the godly remnant of Israel going through the torments of their national sorrow, ringed in by enemies and faced with extermination, and they are calling for Christ to come and deliver them by pouring out judgment on their enemies. The first four trumpets form a distinct group, bringing judgment on one-third of the earth, thought by some to indicate that the Western world, Christendom, broadly speaking, and the sphere over which the world dictator, the beast of Revelation 13, rules, and where Israel is enmeshed because of her treaty with him, is indicated in this one-third. After the fourth trumpet, there is a break, when a flying eagle proclaims to heaven and earth that the following three trumpets will bring much greater woes. They are, for this reason, called the woe trumpets. These first four trumpets bring blows on the earth, the sea, the fountains of waters, the heavenly luminaries. Another author has pointed out that these four things embrace the whole conditions in which man is set as a creature. The earth is a place where man, fighting against God, flourishes like a green bay tree, and where all flesh is as grass. Now God strikes the trees and the grass, and flaming destruction is the result on the pride of men. Trumpet 2 shows a burning mountain cast into the churning seas of humanity. In Jeremiah 51:25, the Babylonian monarchy is called a great mountain, and because of God's judgment on him, a burnt mountain. Here, some great power, some new political force or system perhaps, comes on the scene, easily recognizable when the time comes. And the result is disaster to life and to commerce among earth dwellers. With the sounding of the third trumpet, a star, usually symbolic of a ruler, falls from heaven, probably indicating a fallen or apostate ruler, and his influence is on the fountains and rivers of earth. Not only the whole movement of life on earth, but the very sources of this are turned to bitterness and death. Ships in the previous judgment usually refers to the movement of trade and commerce, but fountains and rivers is much more likely to indicate the intellectual life or the thought life, which form the source and basis of everything else. And thus the picture becomes an awe-inspiring one. We have seen in our own times the effects on life when the academic sources of thought and teaching are poisoned, as they now are, as Satan takes over the running of schools, colleges, universities, and even seminaries. All is corrupted from the source down. In a day yet to come, God will actually send as a judgment such a satanic takeover, perhaps in the sense that he says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that he will send them strong delusion. The fourth trumpet brings the logical result of this, in that following the intellectual takeover, as surely as night follows day, comes the smiting of central rule and authority, sun, moon, and stars, with darkness. This probably indicates ecclesiastical as well as civil rule, derived and delegated authority as well as central authority. It still affects the third part of things only, and the greatest woes are yet to come, according to the heaven-bound message. But it spells out an appalling scene of chaos, bitterness, darkness, and death over the central and most sophisticated third of the whole earth's population. The next three trumpets will be more specific and more focused, and with these we deal in another paper.